Seems this is called Parashat Nachamu or Shabbat Nachamu. And the question, of course, is just yesterday was Tisha B'Av. It looks like nothing changed. Especially today is the 10th of Chodesh Av, where the Gemara says most of Beit HaMikdash was burning today. And Tisha B'Av in the afternoon, in yesterday afternoon, they just started the fire. So therefore some of the halachot continue today, because most of the fire was on today. But it's the information that we have about the fire, it just, of course, it's the material inside Beit HaMikdash. The building never burned. Building cannot burn. You imagine you can go to the Kotel and you start making a fire over there. It doesn't matter how big the fire is going to be, the Kotel will never burn down. Not such thing. Yeah. In America, the houses, the buildings are from fire, from wood. So in the Bronx, every day they have a fire over there. But if you go to Eretz Israel, hardly you see a fire engine. Hardly. The reason is because everything is built from stone, cement. It can't burn nothing. It can burn. The inside can burn. So the concept that people have on Beit HaMikdash was a fire. Beit HaMikdash was burned. People like to think Beit HaMikdash was burned. Beit HaMikdash was never burned. Cannot burn. They broke it. After they burned the inside of Beit HaMikdash, they burned everything inside. Inside were a lot of wood used for the Mizbeach, for the altar. Was a lot of oil used for the menorah. There was a lot of clothing of the Kohanim. There were a lot of Aruchet, certain things that were made. But the halacha in the Rambam is you weren't allowed to use any wood in Beit HaMikdash. Maybe there was some wood as a decoration. Maybe. Not for sure either. Well, the Navi tells us that Shlomo sent people to Lebanon to bring wood. It's just, you know, to make the form, to make so-called the places, how to make it. They use a lot of wood in the construction. But like they do in America, like they do in Israel. They put wood, and then they pour the cement, and then they take the wood off. And cement stayed. And Beit HaMikdash itself, that's halacha in the Rambam. Wood was not allowed to be in Beit HaMikdash. No such thing. You can't build Beit HaMikdash with wood. So whatever was burned on Tisha B'Av and Asara B'Av is just the inside. And the thing that they were able to get burned, it's not the building itself. The building is heavy. Machshimam, the Romans, this is the simple version, if you may say. The simple version is Beit HaMikdash was destroyed later. So as the Gemara says, on the seventh day of Chodesh Av, they went to Beit HaMikdash and they made a party over there. And the eighth day of Av, they made a club over there. And the 9th of Av, they started a fire. And the 10th of Av, the fire continued. At the end, today, at the end of the day, fire was off. But the building was there. The question is, where is the building now? So if you go to Ir David, in Yerushalayim, in the digging over there, you see a lot of tremendous big stones, tremendous, that were thrown, you can visualize it, that they were thrown from Beit HaMikdash down. But it's not necessarily the stones of Beit HaMikdash, could be in the stone that was of the walls around Beit HaMikdash. But see, you see big, tremendous big stones. Again, those stones are not smaller than the stones of the Kotel. Some of them are bigger and could never burn them. No such thing. So the explanation is that after they made the fire in Beit HaMikdash for 2 days, then they started breaking the walls of Beit HaMikdash. The ceiling of Beit HaMikdash maybe also was wood. Most probably it was wood. Not 100%, but most probably. So, but we say, we remember the 9th and the 10th day of Chodesh Av as the beginning, maybe, of the destruction. It wasn't the end. I mean, if Hashem would have wanted, so they would have left, the building, and then we would, would come inside and we start to fix the building and rebuild Beit HaMikdash. But obviously they broke it. But again, they didn't break it. They didn't break it on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av was just a fire. There's somebody, Chasholim, has a fire in the house. So the house is not burned down completely. Just, you know, the inside. So, the inside was burned. It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. I mean, it's pity. It's a shame. It's a shame that people came and burned Beit HaMikdash. But not actually burned down to nothing. That could not have happened. There's a version of Rabbeinu Bachaya, he says, this is according to Zohar a little bit, that actually HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked up Beit HaMikdash upstairs, the building. But if we're not going to go into the secrets, it means the Romans, Yimach Shemam, they broke the building. So actually the disaster of putting down Beit HaMikdash continued after today, after yesterday. There's no information, just on the surface. If they broke it, really, so maybe it was tomorrow, maybe the day after tomorrow, maybe next week, the way they broke the wall. This is what it says in the history books. They couldn't even break the walls of Yerushalayim. They had to build something like a little house, and they put a horn made from metal in the front, and they made wooden wheels to that little house, and 100 or 200 of them used to run back and forth and bang into the wall until they were able to break the wall. This is a tremendous building. It's tremendous stones. You cannot just, you know, break it. It was impossible to break it. And they couldn't break the gates either. So eventually, maybe they did to Beit HaMikdash. That's like eventually. So if that's the case, again, the question is, what is the celebration that you have today of this coming Monday, Tu B'Av, or even before this Shabbat, it's called Shabbat Nachamu. It's Shabbat Nachamu, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. Comes the Gemara and says, the next 7 weeks, we're going to read the Haftarah from Sefer Yeshayahu, that the Kaddish Baruch Hu comforts us about destruction of the HaMikdash, that nothing changed. We just said Tisha B'Av, and if we mourn on Tisha B'Av, this didn't stop yet. Because again, the information that we have, we don't know when really Beit HaMikdash was destroyed completely. This is really the disaster. The building, it's not the fire. The fire was the beginning. As the Gemara says, we do the Tanit on Tisha B'Av, not on the 10th of Av, even though the majority of the fire was today, not yesterday. As the Gemara, because they started the fire yesterday. Actually, yesterday, late afternoon, the Gemara says, Le'et Erev, just before sunset. This started. I mean, we started Tisha B'Av the night before. But actually, the fire started just yesterday, late afternoon. So it means that, you know, the Gemara says, because, you know, the beginning of a fire that started the destruction of Beit HaMikdash, so we took upon ourselves. In time of Beit HaMikdash, the Gemara says people used to do Tani 2 days, yesterday and today. Because the major thing was today, not yesterday. But nevertheless, it doesn't matter today or yesterday. Nothing changed as of tomorrow morning, of course. Another thing will be changed Friday morning, and certainly not Shabbat. So again, you have Shabbat Nachamu, it's a celebration, people change and sing, and nothing happened. It's the same disaster. Not only that, again, the information that we have, who knows, maybe the next few days, they will break in Beit HaMikdash and they threw the stones. Actually, you go to David, you see it actually with your eyes, how the stones will roll down from Beit HaMikdash all the way down there. So to understand it, really, the Gemara and the Mishnah in Masechet Ta'anit says that the Tu B'Av was a very big celebration. And this coming Monday is a very big holiday. The Gemara compares this Tu B'Av to Yom Kippur. As far as the Gemara, lo hayu yamim tovim leYisrael ke Tu Be'av v'Yom HaKippurim. As the time Israel never had better days than Tu Be'av and Yom HaKippurim. The Gemara says, really, what the accomplishment of those 2 days, that the girls used to go and advertise themselves for the boys to get married. Obviously, those days already, they had also the same problems with Shiduchim. The boys were very picky, and the girls had to go on Yom Kippur and then on Tu Be'av to the vineyard, says the Gemara. And the boys used to come to the vineyard, and the girls used to plead with them, please, take me out, marry me. You can see, it's not a, people say that in our generation, you go to the west side, you have hundreds and hundreds of boys and girls, they couldn't find a mate yet. It says, it didn't start today. Start the time of the Gemara. Chachamim says, before the Holocaust was the same thing in Europe. But anyway, the Gemara and the Mishnah says that this Yom Kippur and Tu Be'av are on the same level of happy days. Comes the Gemara and asks, Yom Kippur, I do understand, it's Yom Slicha u'Mechila, Kadosh Baruch Hu, forgive Am Yisrael by giving the second set of the tablets of the Luchot to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Kadosh Baruch Hu forgave us on the golden calf. So we do understand that Yom Kippur is a very good day. It's a very high day, not necessarily to find a mate, but that's what the Mishnah says. Comes in Gemara and says, what, tell me, can you tell me anything about Tu Be'av? What is Tu Be'av all about? What's the celebration? It's like Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you what it is. So Gemara has a few things that happened in the history on Tu Be'av. The first thing, says the Gemara, that Utrush Vatim Lavo Ze Baze. What it means is, 2 weeks ago we read in Parashat Maseh that Slofrad had 5 daughters and they also could not find their mate. And since they got some heritage in Eretz Israel, some property they're going to get, so the presidents of the tribe of Menashe came to Moshe and told Moshe, "Ben, we don't like it so much that those girls, 5 girls, are going to intermarry with somebody from another tribe. Because if that's the case, what it means is that the man usually in the house, he's the owner of the house, and if the girls are going to marry somebody from a different tribe, it means that that piece of land that really in the territory of Shevet Menashe is going to belong to a different tribe, because if the husband is going to be from another tribe, so it means there's another tribe having some kind of an island inside the territory of Menashe." And Moshe said, "You know what? I asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're right, every tribe has to intermarry among themselves. You cannot mix from tribe to tribe." Says the Gemara that on Tu Be'av, we don't know the information exactly which year was it, but later, years later, Am Yisrael had a meeting, a convention. In that convention, they canceled it. They said, you know, that decision was for that generation, but now it doesn't matter anymore. What it means is, even if you belong to one tribe, that actually Yeshua ben Nun divided Eretz Israel, he gave each tribe a piece of land, a designated piece of land, and then there was a girl over there that had no brothers, and the father died, and she inherited this piece of land, and she went out with a boy from a different tribe, and that boy married her. Actually, that piece of land that was in the territory of one tribe now belongs to somebody that he belongs to a different tribe. It means the whole country is no more designated per tribe anymore. And the Gemara says that decision on Israel, the people decided on Tu Be'av. Don't know why. Maybe you'll know later why. But happened to be, let's say like this. Of course, there's no happen in our history, but that's what the Gemara says. That convention to cancel the decision that every tribe has to intermarry among themselves, and they're not allowed to intermarry with different tribes, it says that decision was cancelled on Tu B'Av. Why on Tu B'Av? You can say, okay, happened to be on Tu B'Av. So says the Gemara, that's a reason, one of the reasons, says the Gemara, that Tu B'Av is a great holiday. Then continues the Gemara and says, well, if you remember the story in Sefer Shoftim, was a person from Shevet Binyamin did not behave the way he should behave, and Am Yisrael was very upset at him, not only upset at him, since he came from the tribe of Binyamin, all Am Yisrael decided to go to destroy Shevet Binyamin, they had a war with them, and almost wiped out completely the tribe of Binyamin. And the disaster, of course, is because the Gemara says if one tribe is destroyed, that Am Yisrael will not be able to hold down. And the Navi tells us in Sefer Shoftim that after Am Yisrael made a war with them and almost all of them were wiped out, Am Yisrael made a shvua, a swear, nobody should intermarry with the leftovers, people from the tribe of Binyamin. So the Gemara says, one day they cancel, said, forget about it. You know what? Let's forgive and forget. Let's intermarry back to the tribe of Binyamin. Again, says the Gemara, that decision was made on Tu B'Av. Again, happened to be on Tu B'Av. Continues the Gemara and says, well, the third thing happened is Kalumete Midbar. Says the Gemara, in the desert, every year on Tisha B'Av, Moshe Rabbeinu, after the Kadosh Baruch Hu told us that that 600,000 people will not go to Eretz Israel, so every Tisha B'Av, Moshe Rabbeinu told whoever was between age 20 and 60 to go dig himself his own grave and go inside. And go inside. In the morning, Moshe Rabbeinu used to come and he used to say, whoever is alive, please come out of his grave, his pit. And whoever came out, came out. And whoever did not come out, they covered them in the desert. The following year, again. So started from 600,000 and went down every year 15,000 and changed that were left inside the own hole, the dark in the desert, until the last year. The last year was 15,000 and change. So of course over here you don't have to say this announcement, whoever is allowed to come out, because all of them are supposed to die. So Moshe Rabbeinu came to Tisha B'Av in the morning and told the people, okay, you're dead. So they all said, no, we're not dead, we're alive. So Moshe said, oh, maybe it's a mistake, something, we don't know what it is. Stay another night. Stay another night in the pit. In the morning, Moshe Rabbeinu came again. There's no information if he brought them food or not. If they had man, what did they eat for the next few days? Until Tu B'Av, every night, Moshe told them, duck inside the pit. In the morning, Moshe Rabbeinu came. He's still alive? He's still alive. On Tu B'Av, Moshe Rabbeinu said, enough is enough. Get out. Get out, says the Gemara. They got out of the pit. The last 15,000 came out. And there's some calculation that 15,000 already died in a different place. Anyway, the last 15,000 and change did not die. And continues the Gemara and says, you should know, since at that day, on Tu B'Av, Moshe realized that this Gezerah is over, by getting a telephone call from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that 38 years Moshe Rabbeinu could not contact HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now on Tu B'Av, the line resumed, and Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, it's a very strange thing. I says, you know, those people had to lie down like 5 days in their own pit. And every day Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, are you alive? I said, yeah, we're alive. So to get them out, so we don't know. We don't know. Maybe that tomorrow. Maybe that tomorrow. Until when are you going to die? Until when are you going to wait? So Gemara says that until Tu B'Av, until Moshe Rabbeinu came on the 15th day of Chodesh Av and asked them, are you alive? And they said, you're alive. So Moshe said, okay, get out of here. Get out of the pit. Get up. And then all of a sudden Moshe gets a phone call from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, even though those people never died, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have called Moshe on the line already before, because it means the year before already the epidemic, which if we may say the Gezerah was over, it doesn't matter. Tezvav Av, Menachem Av, 15 of Av, says the Gemara, that's what happened. That's another thing, says the Gemara, happened on Tuve Av, and then the Gemara continues. Well, continues that was a king, his name was Yehovah Menevat, that put two golden calves around Eretz Israel, one in the north, one in the south, and said he doesn't, and he put police, soldiers on the highways not to let the 10 tribes to go to Yerushalayim. And then on Tu B'Av happened to be that the king after him canceled the troops. Happened to be on Tu B'Av. So the Gemara, it's another reason for celebrate Tu B'Av is because it was a cancellation of the troops. Nothing better happened. Just that king decided to cancel the troops. Continues the Gemara. And this is another tragedy. The city of Betar had millions of Jews in Bar Kokhba. It was maybe, according to Rabbi Akiva, and more like the Rambam, supposed to be Mashiach. And Machshimam, the Romans, killed the city of Betar, destroyed the city of Betar, and took the bodies of the people and made them a fence, and did not let the Jews to bury the dead ones until the Caesar died, Baruch Hashem, and the new Caesar came and gave us the permission to bury the bodies of hundreds of thousands of maybe millions of Jews that lived in the city of Betar. Happened to be the dead permit was gotten on Tu B'Av. Again, so comes the Shalim said that all those things happened. They all happened on Tu B'Av. Because of this, it became holiday. Again, if you look at the Jewish calendar, if you would have today it would be easy, we have a computer. But if you can look through the Jewish history, you would probably find in every day something happened. And if you want to accumulate things that happen on every day, probably you'll find that certain days had few good things happen to them. Nevertheless, there's no such holiday because that happened, and that happened, and that happened. It's no reason to celebrate. So that happened, and says, listen, Tu B'Av is a very great holiday. It's almost like Yom Kippur. Maybe it is like Yom Kippur. Comes the Gemara and says, well, there's one more thing. Comes the Gemara and says, you know, there's a special halacha that in Beit HaMikdash there was a mitzvah in the morning and the afternoon to bring two pieces of wood on the altar. Besides that they used to bring wood, it's one of the things, the first thing that was done in Beit HaMikdash. The coin used to go, in the morning was a coin, the first coin that was chosen by a lotto to go on the altar and start what's called Trumat HaDeshem Beit HaMikdash. It says that coin had to take two pieces of wood and bring it on the altar. It says that's called Etzim. Sidur Shnei Etzim. Shnei Gizrei Etzim. It was done in the morning, it was done in the afternoon. Says the Gemara, you should know that they had to bring the wood, and the wood had to be pure without any germ inside. If it was a little germ inside the wood, you cannot put it. Even though you're going to burn it, what difference does it make? If there's a germ inside, there's a worm inside. So what becomes a worm inside? Doesn't matter. No. The halacha is, you cannot bring wood to Beit HaMikdash that might be a worm inside. So the Gemara says the Kohanim used to sit down and check the wood. They used to check the wood to make sure there's no any worms in the wood. It says, how do you can make sure there's no worm in the wood? It says the Gemara, they used to make sure the pieces of wood used in Beit HaMikdash were very dry wood. how dry could it be? Says the Gemara, they used to prepare the wood in the summertime. It was very hot in Eretz Israel. Like it usually is very hot over there. And they used to cut the wood, and then they brought it to Beit HaMikdash. And Beit HaMikdash, the Kohanim used to check it to make sure there's no worm inside. And it was what we call kosher for the altar. Says the Gemara, what is the date that you consider it's very hot in Eretz Israel? The Gemara says, I'll tell you. This is the summertime in Eretz Israel. It's mainly 2 months. This is from the end of Sivan to Tu Be'av. Tu Be'av is a cutoff date of the summertime. On Tu Be'av, the nights get longer in Eretz Israel, and the sun doesn't have the same strength anymore. After Tu Be'av, it's sunny in Eretz Israel. It's hot in Eretz Israel, but not as hot. And because it's not as hot, says the Gemara, the wood might have inside a worm inside. And we can take a chance. So we're not going to chop any more wood. We're not going to chop any wood, says the Gemara. No more cutting wood, no more chopping wood from Tu Be'av. Says the Gemara, okay, that's another reason to celebrate the day of Tu Be'av, because they're not going to cut any more wood. They're not going to cut any more wood. That's a holiday, don't cut any wood. What holiday is this? I says, well, you know, we like to have trees, okay, but we use the trees for Beit HaMikdash, to put on the altar, on the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, no. No more cutting wood. This is the last reason, reason number 6, says the Gemara, that this is Tu Be'av, and the question is, what do those reasons have to do with really celebration of a holiday? Or what is this holiday all about? Again, especially that we are so-called in the same week of Tisha B'Av, the disaster of Beit HaMikdash, and here you are going to celebrate a day, find small reasons, if you may say, to celebrate. It comes the Gemara and says, it's like Yom Kippur, the best day of the year. Is Tu Be'av and Yom Kippur, the best day. What's the best day? It's nothing. Because they don't cut wood. Because once upon a time, they buried the dead bodies in time of Bar Kokhba. Not only that, comes the Gemara and say, you know, we have in Birkat HaMazon 4 brachot. Says the Gemara, the first paragraph of bracha, Tiken Moshe Rabbeinu, Hazan. And in the desert, Moshe Rabbeinu made the first paragraph in Birkat HaMazon. The second bracha, Nodeh Lecha, Ala Kol Hashem Elokeinu, made Yehoshua Mikem Torat Yisrael. The third one, Rachem Na Hashem Elokeinu, Rachem Hashem Elokeinu, is David and Shlomo. And the fourth one, Adirenu, Borenu, Goalenu, that bracha was made later on. When the Romans let us bury our beloved ones, Kem Chachamim and say, you know what? It's called Birkat HaTov HaMetiv on the wine as well, and in Birkat HaMazon, this is a last invention of Chachamim to add a bracha. But really, after Mordechai and Sheikh Nesakadullah made the brachot, you cannot make new brachot. Even though the Gaonim made one bracha, but most of the brachot that we have today were made by Sheikh Nesakadullah. This is before building the second Beit HaMikdash, in between the first and the second. Here came Chachamim, after the destruction of second Beit HaMikdash, after the destruction of the city of Beitar, they came with the new bracha. They say, every time you eat, Birkat HaMazon, and it says, fourth bracha. After Bnei Yerushalayim Amen, it says, the new bracha. It says, who made it? Chachamim. When did Chachamim make it? On Tu Be'av. On Tu Be'av they made it. It says, when did Tu Be'av? The day the Romans give us a permit to bury the dead ones. It says, Chachamim invented this Atuba Ametiv. Every time you eat, I say, Birkat HaMazon. You say, okay, the next bracha. I say, what do you say this? What do you say? I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do you say this? You say, this Chachamim said, please say that every Birkat HaMazon. It says, this, the root of this bracha is Tu Be'av. Again, what is this? Has to do with anything? Because they let us bury almost 2,000 years ago, and let us bury those people, that every time I say Birkat HaMazon, I have to say this bracha. What do I say this bracha? What I have to do? What this has to do with me daily, every time I say Birkat HaMazon, I have to say special bracha. I say, what's this special bracha? It's called Atov Amitiv. Atov Shelo Yisrichu, Amitiv Shenitnu Likvura. It says, not only it was a miracle, the new Caesar of Rome let us bury them, it says those bodies were kept nicely as a fence of the vineyards over there, and the bodies of the people did not smell after 3 years, kept straight, complete, and then they took them and buried them. It's called Hatov Mehametiv. Hatov Shelo Yisrichu. This is the Gemara says Hatov because they didn't smell bad. Mehametiv, it's mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, you do good things to me, you let us bury them. Just, this has to do with daily Birkat HaMazon, that something happened to be up, must be something very great. Well, first we need to understand it. Comes the Gemara, you know, tells us certain things. It's very strange. After Yom Kippur, a person prayed in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the day of judgment. A person doesn't know usually what happened in Yom Kippur for him. Some tzaddikim knew what was the decision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur. Hatam Sofer, before he died, he told everybody, I think I passed Yom Kippur. I think I passed. Then he came to Hoshana Rabbah, he said, I didn't pass and died. But usually a person doesn't know exactly. Nevertheless, it says in the Gemara that after Yom Kippur, a person can hear what's called a bat call. Somebody speaks to him and tells him, Lech echol b'simcha lachmecha. Go eat home. Go. Let me go to eat home. A person knows Yom Kippur is the day of judgment. It means the Kadosh Baruch Hu decides Yom Kippur if this year is going to invest in stock or is he investing in gold. He doesn't know what was the decision. Kadosh Baruch Hu makes all the decisions on Yom Kippur. It's a dangerous day. It's a court day. It's a Supreme Court day. So then in Motzei Yom Kippur, everybody goes home, he eats, he has a meal. So what do you have a meal for? You don't know what the court decided yet. You're going to hear him maybe one day, or maybe you're going to do the celebration next year. If you live the year through and you're alive, they say in Bnei Brak, at Rosh Hashanah, people go to see Shana Tova to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. They say certain people, he doesn't tell them Shana Tova. He doesn't tell them. That year, they go to Gan Eden. He doesn't tell it to them because he knows. Because he knows that those people will not make it. As in Yom Kippur, after Yom Kippur, a person doesn't know if he's going to make it. He's not for sure he's going to make it. He hopes. Nevertheless, since the Gemara Bat Kol Yotzei, he hears from Shamayim, a person can hear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, go eat. Ki ratza Hashem et ma'asecha. Hashem accepted you, the ta'anit, go home. You go home. Some people go eat and chas v'shalom, they don't make it. I says, who knows if I'm going to make a living this year. Nevertheless, you see, everybody sits down on Motzei Yom Kippur, they eat, like nothing happened. 4 days later, after Yom Kippur is Sukkot. Sukkot, 5 days later. 4 days. Sukkot, sits in the Sukkah, is happy. It says, 5 days ago you had a court case with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yom Kippur. He says, you don't know what the decision was. What's the celebration? He makes a Sukkah, he sits in the Sukkah. Chachamim tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is God of mercy. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking just for us to return back to Him. And more than that, to see how much we care for Him. There's two kinds of regret of a person that he regrets. Say one person Hashem did something not supposed to do, he regrets it, and he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please forgive me. So this is very nice, but that's not what we say. Achzirenu b'tshuva shlema lefanecha. אז הקדוש ברוך הוא want to have תשובה שלמה. What do you mean תשובה שלמה? תשובה שלמה, but a person can do half תשובה. He's only going to smoke half a cigarette on Shabbat. I mean, החזירנו, we say in 18, החזירנו בתשובה שלמה. A complete תשובה. Of course complete תשובה. Otherwise it's not called תשובה. Rambam says תשובה means that the Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at the person and the person regrets, he asks from the Kadosh Baruch Hu forgiveness, and Hashem knows that he will never do this again. Otherwise Rambam says it's not called תשובה. It's not called תשובה שלמה. A real teshuva, a person says, I'm sorry. I said, that sorry has to have a regret, says the Rambam, this is what you did. Accepting on yourself, you now can do it again. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels that you're not going to do it again. If those three conditions are not fulfilled, says the Rambam, it's not teshuva. Maybe you say you regret it is teshuva. But actually, the Hashem should accept what we call a teshuva from a person that is really sorry is only if Hashem knows the person will never do it again. Nevertheless, we say, Achzirinu b'tshuva shlema lefanecha, a complete teshuva. And the explanation of Chachamim say what it means is like this. The Gemara says, you know, somebody wants the Zgula for Parnasa. Zgula, big Zgula, it's a Gemara. The Gemara says, if somebody he is going to bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu's sadness into his situation, Hashem will give him double parnasa. Double. It's a segula. You want to have $10 million instead of $5 million? Very easy segula. It's a koflim parnasa. They double the parnasa. It says, if you bring the sadness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the situation, what it means like this. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as our Father, he is sad if he has to punish us. He is sad if a person does something bad. It's like if you want to describe it, as for example, if a regular father gets a note from school that his son did not behave well today. So, of course, his son, he is the one that did not behave. On the other hand, he caused sadness, shame to his father. So now, the son, besides that he has to promise and never do it again in school, he has to comfort his father. Not just to change himself and to make sure I'm never going to do it. It's a higher level. That I worry about my father's happiness. My father's not happy now. Let's call teshuva shelema. So besides that a person did something wrong and he regrets and he's not going to do it again. But by doing something, he made HaKadosh Baruch Hu upset. He made HaKadosh Baruch Hu upset. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also upset. Because if a father punishes his son, the father is upset that he has to punish his son. He sees the son suffers. He punishes the son, and the son wanted something. He said, I'm not going to give it to you because you did something. But if the father sees the son suffers, so the father is upset because the son suffers. Let's go to Teshuvah Shelema. Chachamim say, and that's what the Gemara really means, that if somebody wants a segula, he has to feel sad for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sadness. And says, I'm upset that I made HaKadosh Baruch Hu upset. Forget about me regretting what I did. I'm promising HaKadosh Baruch Hu I'm never going to do it again. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows I'm never going to do it again. But what about the situation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was at because of the misbehaving of a person? I says, this is called Asirini B'Tshuva Shlema Lefanecha. Let's go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch HaTashem HaRotze B'Tshuva. It's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves it so much. Not just loves it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects everybody to regret and come back to him. It says, it's a very high level that the person should feel, says the Gemara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset because we caused him to be upset as our Father. I says, on Yom Kippur, the real thing on Yom Kippur that a person can reach on Yom Kippur that Chachamim say is on Yom Kippur. Besides, you know, he said, I'm sorry. I said, he has to remember in his head, I'm sorry that I made you upset. I'm sorry that I made you upset when I sinned. I'm sorry that I made you upset when you punished me during the year. That's called Teshuvah Shelema Lefanecha. And let's Chachamim say that if a person reaches that, it says that a complete forgiveness. And that's a person, when he comes to it, then he can hear Chachamim say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, go home, go eat. You did the job. What do you mean I did the job? It says, you understood what means to do a sin. For sure you're not going to do it again. Because you don't want to upset HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it's just you do a sin, you say, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will waive it for me. I'll make with HaKadosh Baruch Hu some kind of a deal. But if you know that you make HaKadosh Baruch Hu upset, it's no deal for that. Rahamim say that is really the key of Yom Kippur. And 4 days after Yom Kippur, we have Sukkot. That's called Tila de Mehemnuta. I say, you sit down in the Sukkah. I says, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, Moshe Aaron Yisrael David come visit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shekhinah is there. This is the whole celebration of Sukkot. It's called Yom Simchatenu, Chag Simchatenu. It says the biggest day. It says the Gemara, well, they take the lulav in the hand. It says it to show that we won the case. How do you know you won the case? So Rabbim says, if you reach that level, you won. Because it means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at you different now, that you worry about him. And that's what the Gemara says, the Sugula for Parnasah. I said, every time for Parnassah, he's thinking like this, you know. Listen, I don't have Parnassah. So you're my father. So if you're my father, you see that I struggle. You see, I'm struggling right now. And probably, a father, when he looks at his son, and he sees the son struggles, he says, the father said, what can I do for my son? I said, his business is not so good. He invested in the stocks. The stock went down. And this, what shall I do? I have to help my son. So when you pray for Parnassah, says the Gemara, it's not only for Parnassah, for Far Shlema also. So the Gemara says, everything that you pray for yourself, feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset because of your situation. Any difficulty that a person has, and he prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help him in this kind of difficulty, he should really feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu suffers because he suffers. And then the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will double what he has to get. Actually, says the Gemara, you know, the Tu Be'av comes after Tisha B'Av, it's really after the 10th of Av, after today, at the same time that Sukkot comes after Yom Kippur. That actually what happened on Tisha B'Av, this is of course the lowest level, we mourn, we're upset, that you know, Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. And more upset thing is, it says the Gemara in Masechet Chagigah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries all the time, and he tells Am Yisrael that he doesn't go inside his palace upstairs unless we have back Beit HaMikdash down here. By Mistarim Tifkenav, she says the Gemara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries. Actually, Malachi HaSharet, the angels come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask him, what is it all about? Hashem said, listen, I'm very upset. My children don't have Beit HaMikdash down there. So actually the mourning that we mourn yesterday and today is not just we don't have Beit HaMikdash and just what happened today to the millions or hundreds of millions of Jews that were slaughtered. It says we mourn on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sadness as a father to us that he has to see. And he had to see, says the Gemara, says the Zohar, what they did to his children. And there's a lot of stories in the Gemara, in the Midrash, in the Zohar, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt, and they try to comfort HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he did not accept it. And the minute that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that that's what we mourn about, and not just we mourn that Beit HaMikdash was burned down, and so we mourn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no house. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked for Beit HaMikdash because he wanted to dwell here. Ikar Shechinah B'Tachtonim, says the Gemara, the main thing of dwelling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is down here. So the purpose of Tisha B'Av is not I fasted yesterday because we lost Beit HaMikdash. This is a part of the fast. But the main thing says the Gemara that you have to fast and mourn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had no house, he had no place to be here. And that's what the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to the place of Bet HaMikdash after Bet HaMikdash was destroyed, he found Avraham Avinu over there, and he asked Avraham Avinu, what are you doing over here? And Avraham Avinu says, what is, I'm looking, what's going on over here? What happened to you? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu cried, says the Gemara. And it says, Al Narot Bavel, Sham Yashavnu Gam Bachinu, that means more. That we said on Tisha B'Av, that we said daily in Tikkun Chatzot, Gam Bachinu, says the Gemara, Yashavnu Gam Bachinu, we also cried, says the Gemara, we and HaKadosh Baruch Hu cried together. So if you do it, it's exactly like Yom Kippur. That's what the Gemara says, the Tu B'Av is exactly like Chag Sukkot after Yom Kippur, but in a higher level. Because actually, Yom Kippur, we just were seen. So we upset about HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was upset because we didn't act properly. But Tisha B'Av is much higher level. It says we upset that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no house. Therefore came the Gemara and says that all those decisions Chachamim made happened to be on Tu B'Av, that to cancel the soldiers, not to let us go to Bet HaMikdash, or to intermarry with the tribe of Binyamin, or intermarry with tribes, or the decision to bury those corpse in time of Bar Kokhba, it's only to show this called Kapara Shlema. It's called full Kapara. Yom Kippur says the Gemara, we hope we have Kapara Shlema. But the Gemara says Yom Kippur Shish Bo Slicha O Mechila. The Gemara doesn't say the word Kapara. This is a complete forgiveness to get was in Tu B'Av. This is in Tu B'Av, that few days after so called Tisha B'Av, it says that that day was designated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a full recovery for Am Yisrael, as a full reward for Am Yisrael, because we understand what is sorrow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, the last year when Am Yisrael were in the desert and they all went down to the dark pit, and Moshe came and saw the alive and said, stay, it says the Tu B'Av, it says come up. It says, why they had the Zuhud, the last generation, not to die? Chachamim say, might have been that they understood that the sin, they sent the spies to Eretz Israel, and they did not go to Eretz Israel. Of course, it's a major sin. But it's a bigger sin to upset HaKadosh Baruch. So the whole 38 years, 37 years, I said the people went down, of course, they did Teshuvah before you die, and you make the confession to HaKadosh Baruch, you say, Vidui. And they say, I'm sorry, I sinned. It says, well, this is only part of the teshuvah, of coming back to Hashem. The teshuvah shelemai is that you tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm upset that I made you upset. I'm upset that I made you upset when you punished me. It says, the last year, people understood it better. And therefore, they didn't die. It says, the last 15,000 got up. Got out of the pit. Moshe said, what? I don't believe it. I said, when did it happen? I said, it happened 4 days, after four and a half days after Yom Kippur. I said, because that it shows that it was a complete kapara. That's the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a quote immediately after Yom Kippur to tell us, Dilan Natsa, we won. So you have a lulav. So the Gemara, you have a lulav. Why do you have a lulav? It says to show we won the case. What do you mean you won the case? You don't know if you won the case. But if you do the Shuvah Shelema, you won the case. It says the Shuvah Shelema is you worry about Hashem's sadness. Says the Gemara that this is really the message. That really Tisha B'Av, Beit HaMikdash was this way, was burned down. But you should know, it's celebration now. Because of the burning, we understood that we made HaKadosh Baruch Hu upset. It's not we just miss Bet HaMikdash. If we understand it, says the Gemara, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. It says this Shabbat called Nachamu, Nachamu. It says comfort, comfort. What's comfort? Nothing changed. Big change. We understood that the destruction is not destruction for us and the destruction for our Father, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to comfort, says the Gemara, for the next 7 weeks, we're going to read the Haftarah about comforting Am Yisrael, Hashem comforts us. So the Gemara, yeah, because we comfort him, he comforts us. So we have to have in mind, say Chachamim, that the destruction of Bet HaMikdash was not just for us, was more upsetting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Bet HaMikdash was destroyed. So actually, Bet HaMikdash was really burned down, but the building was still standing. But again,
HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset that Beit HaMikdash was burned. And this is one of the things the Chachamim say, that on Tu B'Av they stopped cutting wood, because actually what burned the Beit HaMikdash was wood only. But the building was never burned down. This is the main thing that was burning over there was wood. It says, on Tu B'Av they don't cut wood anymore. So which wood? This is the wood that they used to bring to Beit HaMikdash. I said, it's a mitzvah, it's true. But that mitzvah to bring wood caused the fire of Beit HaMikdash. The main thing that burned down Beit HaMikdash and made the fire was the wood inside. And it says, Tu B'Av, they don't cut any more wood. It says, it's a celebration. A celebration, what it means is that Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted our tanit, accepted our sadness, our sorrow, and from now on, we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. So, like Yom Kippur is a kapara, Tisha B'Av, and Asara B'Av, also is a kapara, and the celebration Tu B'Av is exactly like Chag HaSukkot, it's called Tzilat Minuta, you sit down with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it's time for Mashiach Rabbi Minami.
How are you? I'm doing good. You're doing good. Amen.